You are listening to the Dare Daily Podcast, Episode 1. Welcome to Dare Daily. I'm your host, Sylvia Jagla. The Dare Daily Podcast is designed to inspire, motivate, and support you to create in life, work, and relationships whatever you crave for. Welcome! Thank you so much for tuning in today. What's up? I am Sylvia, and I'm thrilled to share today with you the amazing interview with Tricia Brooke, incredible powerhouse from New York. We talk about fearlessness, the art of public speaking, and how to actually get started to speak on stages. And much, much more. I hope you enjoy. Hello and welcome to our Dare Daily Podcast. I'm beyond excited to have you today, Tricia Brooke. For all those of you who don't know Tricia right now, I will just give you a short intro before we will dive in. Tricia Brooke is an award-winning director, writer for theater, film, and television. In addition to her work in the entertainment industry, she applies her expertise to the art of public speaking. She's the executive producer of TEDx Lincoln Square and has choreographed Black Box on ABC, The Affair on Showtime, Rescue Me on Vox, and John Turturro's Romance and Cigarettes, where she was awarded a Golden Thumb Award from Roger Ebert. Thank you so, so much for being here.
Thank you for having me, Sylvia. I'm so excited to talk to you this morning.
Yeah, it's morning in New York City, and it's the beginning of the afternoon here in Prague. So we are in two different corners on this globe, in fact.
And two amazing cities. I love Prague. It's so beautiful.
So before we will start with all the questions, I would just like to ask you at the beginning, what do you dare daily?
That's such a great question, Sylvia. I live my life by daring myself to explore new things, to say yes to opportunities that I might not have the answer to. And I think that I live a very daring and fearless life. And that has given me such joy and such opportunity. And it's one that I live my best, fullest life because I dare daily.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for sharing. Yeah, it sounds beautiful. Before we dive in, would you like to share with our listeners a little bit about your background? Because you don't have a usual way of coming to New York City.
I moved to New York City to pursue a career in dance. I grew up on a farm in Missouri and went to dancing school as a young girl and knew that I was going to live in New York and dance with Baryshnikov. So I did. I danced with Baryshnikov in the Lucinda Childs Dance Company. And I had an incredible career in classical modern dance. I'd like to give a shout out and pay my respects to the loss of Paul Taylor. He passed away at 88 yesterday, and he was one of the first choreographers that I ever studied with. And it really gave me the foundation of being an incredible modern dancer. So thank you, Mr. Taylor, for teaching us such great work.
Just good goosebumps. Thank you so much for sharing.
Absolutely. So I had a wonderful career in dance in New York, toured the world, and then decided I wanted to move to other things. So I became a choreographer. It was a natural progression. That's where I met John Turturro and began to work in film as a choreographer, moved into television. And then I wanted to be able to tell even more stories, so I became a director and then a writer. And that progression was very organic for me. And just like we talked about a second ago, moving to New York was, I guess, daring from a girl on a farm. But for me, it was just a no-brainer. I knew I had something to do for the world. I knew I had something to say in the world. And at that time, it was through physicality. It was through dance. Mm-hmm. And as I progressed as a storyteller, it then needed to come out through writing and directing. And now I help other people tell their stories. So that's kind of my progression into the world that I am in now. I worked with a speaker from TEDx Syracuse, a dear friend and public speaker, Petra Kolber. And she approached me because she'd known my work as a director and said, would you be willing to direct my TEDx? And I thought, that sounds fun. It's like any other one-woman show. I'll analyze the script. I'll help you work on the blocking and the content and the delivery. And that was it. But before we finished, she planted the seed of, you should really do this. And mm-hmm. I thought, she just dared me to do this. So I started the big talk and began working with public speakers and fell in love with the ideas and the passion behind what people want to share in the world. So I feel so fortunate that I get to put people on the big stage and the big screen as a filmmaker.
Mm-hmm. And so when just anybody who's just listening to us and thinks, okay, I just feel, because when I got to write for you, it was just a kind of organic development in your life. So step by step, it was for you naturally. And when someone is now in a situation and feels a little bit stuck and feels like, okay, I'm a leader as well, but how to move on, how to get and how to start something, especially when we are really, really full of fear before we will start something new. What would it be what you would suggest someone to do?
I want to differentiate fear and being scared.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you can identify that you might be scared of trying something new, or might be scared that you're going to make a mistake, or you might be a little nervous that people are going to judge you, that's all something you can work through and get past.
Mm-hmm.
Being fearful stops you in your tracks and prevents you from having an opportunity. It prevents you from sharing your very important message and affecting the world. So if you feel scared, nervous, uncertain, no problem. Own that. Trust that that means what you're trying to do is important. And then what I always say is keep the story moving. You may not know where to go next. You may not know the answer of how to get there. But if you keep the story moving, you will eventually figure it out. When I first started the Big Talk, I had zero online credibility. I wasn't a public speaking coach. I also didn't even know what a sales funnel was or an opt-in. I wasn't on Facebook. I had to reach out to people to help me. And mm-hmm. I didn't know what the answer was. Was I scared to be on Facebook? Was I nervous to put myself out there finally and guarantee that I would be judged? Absolutely. But I didn't let the scared feeling or the nervousness mm-hmm. get in the way of what I needed to do. And that was to work with speakers who need to share their very important message from big stages. And that's what I would say to people who are experiencing fear.
Yeah, differentiation between being scared or having the deep fear. The fear is something that we'll talk about a little bit later as well. And the thing with what you've just shared, and I really love as well, is reach out for help. So women, we tend, especially as women, we tend to be the superwoman. And sometimes we tend to make things more difficult for us than it would be necessary.
I also want to say, Sylvia, that people like to help you. So when you need help, mm-hmm. reach out to the people you trust because it makes them feel valued. So you're not a burden. You are not bothering them. I know they're busy. I don't want to reach out. People want to help you. So trust that. And that will also help you keep the story moving.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing. And when we now move on to the, your, I believe one of your heart centered topics is fear, fearless speaker. And before we dive into how to speak fearless on any stages or in front of any audiences, what is your why behind the fear?
I think many people experience a fear of public speaking because they're imagining everything that can go wrong. What if I forget my words? What if I fall? What if people laugh at me? What if I don't have anything important to say? that's the biggest concern with people when they're walking onto a stage. So they project the worst possible scenario instead of leading with the best possible scenario, which is people want to be there. People believe I'm credible. I've done the work. I'm going to remember the words. And if I don't, I will wait until they come and then I will continue talking. I will change lives by sharing the message that I'm going to tell from the stage. I'm going to make eye contact with somebody and they're going to walk out of that talk thinking differently. I encourage people to lead with what's possible, not lead with what's going to happen, what's going to go wrong. That's, I think, the biggest issue, the biggest block with the why behind the fear.
Mm-hmm. And for you personally, how do you feel with, how do you deal with your fear? Or do you even have, like, I believe you are pretty fearless and such a bold woman. But just for all the people who are just getting into the whole topic of fear and fearlessness, do you still have this kind of feeling, or is it for you basically, like you said, a background story and you know it is there, but you are going your way anyway?
I have a very unique relationship to fear, Sylvia. I never experience fear. I do experience being nervous and can I do this? But I grew up hearing no all the time because I was a dancer. I was auditioning for companies. I was constantly getting rejected. Mm-hmm. It was so much a part of my life. So I am not afraid to walk in a room and make a fool out of myself. I've done it a million times. I'm not afraid to walk out onto the stage and fall because I literally have walked out onto a stage and fallen. Mm-hmm. So I think if you give yourself the opportunity to absolutely blow it, bomb, do your worst, you probably won't do any of those things and it'll be an incredible experience. Mm-hmm. I have an example for you. I totally bombed on my first Facebook Live this week. I invited everyone from my tribe to my Facebook page, and then I actually did the Facebook Live from the wrong Facebook page, so nobody could find me. That was, what am I going to do? So I sent out an email and said, sorry, I stood you up. Here's the link to the actual. We're humans. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to fall. We're going to forget our words. We're going to get really, really dry mouths when we're on stage. That is no reason to not share your very important message. And I think that's also something that I would encourage speakers and authors and leaders to lead with, which is my message is what is important, not how I feel, not how scared I am. If you lead with the importance of your message, even if you're nervous, people will accept and hear what you're saying. James Lucas, who owns Grape Cat, which is a vegan and cruelty-free accessory company. He's very, very introverted and he's very shy and extremely nervous. He took my speaker salon. I got him on tape. He booked 3 speaking gigs and he's still nervous. He's still full of fear, but because he owns that and leads with his message, we hear what he's saying. It's really powerful stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like you said, everyone got a unique gems because we have unique experiences. Even if we are talking about one and the same topic, everyone got a different flavor and different spices within every single topic.
Okay, that I think it's important that you understand if you are you on stage and not trying to be someone else, that will captivate an audience. You never want to walk onto a stage and imitate another speaker. And the reason that that if you think about the 7 steps of fearless speaking, when you are captivating an audience, it's because you're being uniquely you. When you choose not to do that and you're confused, so are we. We don't know why we don't trust you, but we don't. But the reality is you're trying to be someone else, therefore we can't relate to who you actually are. So I think that's one of the first things that you need to do to become a fearless speaker is to learn how to captivate authentically, and that's by being yourself.
Mm-hmm. And this is probably the most challenging thing for everyone, especially when you're in front of people or on a Facebook Live and something happens. So how to, look around and really focus on your story, on being yourself and not imagining everybody kind of like looking at you, judging or whatever.
Here's the thing, Sylvia, they are going to be looking at you and judging you. So if you can just own that fully, then you get past it. Because I promise, if you are choosing to put yourself out there, you also have to accept being judged. And that doesn't mean that you have to agree with anything or hear anything, but you have to accept with the reality that people are going to judge you.
And how would you say people can deal with all the judgment in front of them? Because, for example, when you are on an audience on a stage, that's one thing. So people most likely will not scream out and say something. But how would you recommend someone who's just really going out there and facing the fear and really just trying to get used to it, how to deal with all the rejections, judgment?
The rejection is something that I would like for you to consider in a new way. When you're rejected or not chosen for an event or a speaking gig or a panel, think of it like this. Mm-hmm. They're not buying what you're selling. It has nothing to do with you. You are amazing. Your content's wonderful. You have something important to say. They're just not buying what you're selling. So you need to find someone who's going to buy what you're selling. I always say, if I can't get through that door, I'm going to go build one that I can get through. So think of it in terms of creating your own tribe and your own world. And if you've got a hater, it's not about you. If somebody has enough spare time, enough free time to send you comments that are negative, it's not about you. So if you can try to put that Teflon on and let it just slide off, that's what I would suggest.
And not take it personally, because like you've said, just mentioned, it's not about you personally. It's just what you're just standing for. And this is like, at the beginning, I believe pretty challenging. But like you've said, you know, you will fall down, you will get rejected, some judgment will come along, and you will get used to it step by step.
Yes, and you'll eventually attract and find the people who want to hear what you're sharing and your important message. And they will continue to support and lift you up along the way.
Yeah. So you will always, when you are yourself, attract also the people who are meant for you.
Without question.
Yeah. And you are now starting a masterclass. Would you mind to share with us a little bit, not the whole content, just a sneak peek with our listeners, whoever is just really thinking about becoming a speaker?
This masterclass, I'm so excited about it, Sylvia, because it's called The Fearless Speaker, and I've put together a massive resource guide and support systems for experts and coaches so that all you have to worry about is the art of public speaking, not the business of getting onto a stage. So this guide helps you craft emails to presenters. It's got templates. It's got before and after, how to pitch, what gets you a great application, resources for how to get on a stage. I teach you about objective and action, which is what keeps you fresh as a speaker. If you know what you want from your audience and you know how to get it and you have the tools and the techniques to do that every single time, you'll never fall flat from a stage. So these resources are for you to look at and to refer to as you need them. There's so many online courses, and we are so busy. Nobody has time to do a 7-week online course with homework. So I put together this resource guide so that you have it for the rest of your speaking life, and you can refer to it, and you can become consistent by using the techniques that you're going to learn in the masterclass.
Mm-hmm. And is it for someone who wants to go on a stage or for everyone who wants to speak in front of an audience?
Everyone. Here's a perfect example. If you know how to use the technique of objective and action, you can do things like get your kids to go to bed, get your spouse to take out the garbage. Here's what I mean by that. So The objective is to get my kids to go to bed. I don't have kids, but if you have kids,
yeah.
How do you do that? You can sweet talk them. You can bribe them. You can beg them. Same thing applies to getting your partner to take out the trash. Mm-hmm. That's the objective. Your action is bribe, sweet talk, seduce, all of those things. It's the same thing when you take a stage. If you're on stage and you want your audience to walk away feeling inspired, you can motivate them. You can teach them. You can educate them. So the objective is for them to feel inspired. The action that you use is motivate, teach, educate. Or if you're not getting your objective and they're looking at their phones, then you have to switch your tactic, switch your technique, switch your action. Maybe entertain is the action that you want to use in order to get their attention. So these techniques, these resources that I've created and lovingly put together for any speaker in the Fearless Speaker Masterclass is really to give you the support that you need to continue to have a successful career as a communicator on any stage.
Thank you so much for sharing. I will share the link under our podcast as well, so everyone can check it out or reach out to you if they got any questions.
Absolutely. And
what is it what you would just really share for everybody who is just at their beginning or just kind of struggling to get out there to take the first step?
There's two things I would suggest. If you are struggling with finding stages, there's a great resource called speakerhub.com, and you can fill out a profile. It's free. They do not take a percentage if you book speaking gigs. Most of them are not paid, but what happens is you start to speak. You start to flex the muscle. So you start to work through the nerves. You start to understand how to analyze your script. You start to see what works as an arc. Do I have a clear through line? So it gives you the resources to book speaking gigs, which is the only way to improve as a speaker. The other thing is start talking all the time. Dinner with your family. Ask your friends to host Facebook Lives with you. The more that you practice the art of speaking, this is public. So this is public speaking, right? I'm not on a stage. I'm in my apartment. But this is absolutely going to help you become a better speaker.
Mm-hmm. So simply just starting out, checking the homepage out and going on stages, but also using your daily life in order to really get into the art of speaking. I love how you say it, the art of speaking. Yeah.
Well, and what you can also think about is how many times do you say, you know, so in your daily speaking life? If you begin to figure out and articulate when and how often you do that, like, that's another big one. Start to eliminate those extra words so that you can become more articulate and more captivating.
Thank you so much for all the tips, for all the tricks. And thank you so much also for your time. I'm super excited to join now the challenge we will start. And also about your masterclass. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me, Sylvia. It's been awesome.
I hope this interview was helpful. Thank you so much for listening. To finish off, here is a quote from Tricia. Lead with what's possible, not with what's gonna happen. Thank you so much and talk to you in the next episode of Dare Daily.